Here, if you have your copy of God's Word this morning, turn with me to 2 Timothy, the second chapter of 2 Timothy, and we're going to look down at verse 14 in just a moment and read a section of that. But praise the Lord, we are here to worship and celebrate a great God and Savior who gave His life for us. And praise the Lord that there's someone that told us that story, hopefully a faithful teacher of the Word of God. And Paul's writing to Timothy, and as one who had Timothy follow in his shadow, as a mentor in so many ways, just speaking to Timothy here in this particular epistle and this letter, just talking about good workmen and bad workmen, and those that are good teachers and bad teachers, and the responsibility as a leader to make certain that you're careful about who you surround yourself with. And that's not just for leaders, it's for believers too. All of us have that responsibility to stop and think about who am I surrounding myself with, and what company am I keeping in my journey to the throne of the Lord. And because it's a pilgrimage, we're all on this journey. There's challenges for leaders as they lead God's people that way. And Paul addresses some of those in 1 Timothy, and here in 2 Timothy, there's a danger always to compromise and to make things easy on people and say easy things, to speak to people in such a way because you want them to like you and follow you, and some ear ticklers will do that. And that's not what Paul says to Timothy. He says, no, be very careful about the company you keep, even as a leader, and remind yourself, listen, there's a sacred trust that's been given to you, Timothy. You've been entrusted with the faith that's been, you know, once for all delivered to the saints, Jude would tell us. And we're supposed to stand on that truth and not compromise it, to protect it and to teach it. And those that teach other things, you know, we're supposed to confront that and not allow that to continue. And you say, well, that's good. This is all for the preachers in the room and the teachers in the room. Well, actually, here's the amazing thing. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, if you're one of His followers, then a commission has been given to us wherever we go to make disciples. And how do you make a disciple? You reach them with the good news that, you know what, we need to repent and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And when they obey the gospel and are saved, as Maddox has testified today, then you teach them to obey all that Christ has commanded us. And so disciples are just reaching and teaching. Everybody in this room should be reaching someone with the gospel and teaching someone else something that they've obeyed in the gospel, something that they've obeyed in God's word, and just faithfully teaching that maybe to your family, to your children, or to your neighbor, to a coworker, some truth that you've learned. We're all supposed to be doing that, and we're all commissioned by the Lord to do that. And I don't know about you, we learned over the past couple weeks, one day we're going to have to give an account for what we've done. And I want to stand there before the Lord, as we've recognized in the past 2 weeks, and I want to hear a commendation, not condemnation. I want to hear a commendation from the Lord for my faithfulness and your faithfulness in serving Him and doing what He has called us to do and being obedient in that. And one day when we stand before Him, I want Him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Paul's writing to Timothy in that vein. He's wanting him to be a faithful leader, a faithful teacher, a faithful shepherd and pastor of this church in Ephesus. And along the way, he says, listen, be very careful about the company that you keep. And he'll emphasize that right here in chapter 2. In a moment, we're going to stand and read it. But listen, I want you to realize we're all on this journey of faith. If you're a disciple of Christ, we all are walking to Zion. We're walking to the throne of God. And each day, listen, I'm not on my journey. I'm not on this journey alone. You're not on this journey alone. There's no such thing as Lone Ranger Christian faith, okay? We are a community of the family of God. We are the household of God. We have brothers and sisters. Paul would emphasize that over in 1 Timothy chapter 3 as Paul writes to how we conduct ourselves in the household of faith. We all are a part of a royal priesthood. We've been blessed to serve the Lord in some capacity, gifted by the Spirit of God. And Paul would tell, Paul would write to the in Hebrews, and he would say in chapter 10, listen, let's not forsake the assembling of the brethren, as is the testimony of some, but let's gather together, listen, so that we can stir one another up to good works, and we can encourage one another, especially as we see the day drawing near, his day drawing near. Do you believe he's coming soon? If you do, then you should be gathering with other believers and stirring one another up so that, listen, when he calls us up, we'll have a good commendation for what we've done. Paul is writing to Timothy, and I'm going to back up to verse 14 and read down through verse 22 this morning. So I want you to stand with me in honor of the word of the Lord as he gives us instruction for walking in godliness with other godly people and need to have godly companions on our journey, particularly for those that are in leadership positions. Listen to what Paul writes. Remind them, verse 14, chapter 2, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers, but be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane, idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he'll be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Father, may our desire to be a vessel today, useful to you. A vessel, Lord, that not only useful for you, but Father, one that you pour through and pour into the lives of others around us, Lord, so that they can be changed as we've been changed. God, I pray that you'd help us today to examine, Lord, the company that we keep and the other vessels around us, Lord, and what's pouring in them and out of them, Lord. And God, may we do this humbly, honestly today, realizing we all need grace, we all need mercy. But Lord, it's your desire that we be good workers, that Lord, we be found faithful, and that Lord, we be one day stand before you, Father, and we hear a good commendation for what we've done. And Lord, I pray today, if there's one before me again who has yet to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray that they would do that today. While there's time, we ask this in your powerful name, Jesus, and for your sake. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. Please keep your Bibles open and allow our hearts to hear the word of God this morning. Paul's speaking to Timothy about the importance of being a good leader and avoiding bad leaders. And we all need to be aware of that. And he gives him several images here along with these precepts to make his point about what's a good worker, a good workman, what's a bad worker, a bad workman, and how Timothy has to be on guard, even as a leader of this important, critical church in Ephesus. And as he speaks to him, he says, listen, I want you to realize in the house of God, in a house, there's many vessels of all different types. The Lord knows those who are his, but in that house, there's lots of pots and pans and dishes and vessels that are used for service to the Lord. It's kind of like when you go home today and you make lunch and mama says, get the plates out. You're going to go to one of those cabinets and open it and you're going to get a particular type of dish. You're going to go and she's going to say, get the cups out. And you go and you open up a different cabinet and you have all different types of cups. Some are coffee cups and some are glass cups and some are plastic cups. But you're going to get those cups out for lunch today unless you go out to eat. All right? If you go down and someone's cooking, you've got pots and pans that are used right down there near the oven and the stove that are pulled out, and some are used for frying and some are used for boiling. There's all different types of vessels that hold things in the house, and it's in the same way in the household of God. There are different dishes and different things that we serve on. There's different things that we drink from. There's different things that we prepare our food in. And all those things, though they're different, some are used for noble purposes and some are used for ignoble purposes. In fact, in your kitchen, probably under the sink or somewhere near there, you've got another pot or pan. It's actually not a pot or pan. It's made out of rubber, typically. It's called, you know, the trash can. And it's used for something, not a noble purpose necessarily, in the way of cooking a meal, but discarding of the meal after it's over. In the house of the Lord, there are different vessels. It was the way in the tabernacle or even in the temple. You realize that they had censers that were there that they went and they burned incense on along with some of the sacrifice that was offered up. Some of those censers had the opportunity to go all the way into the Holy of Holies, at least on one day of the year, the presence of God there. What a noble purpose for that censer. There were also vessels that were used to catch the blood of the sacrifice as the priest slit the throat of the goat or of the lamb or of the heifer and caught some of the blood that would be used to be sprinkled there, not just on the mercy seat in the presence of God. What a noble purpose to catch that, huh? But there were also vessels that were used to get ashes off of the fire. Those were collected and then carried outside of the tabernacle away from everything. And sometimes that was from the scapegoat or something that was offered in the place of the sacrifice. And it went out there where the scapegoat went, out into the mountains and away from the tabernacle. In the house of God, there's all kinds of vessels. In your home, there's all kinds of vessels. Some are valuable and they're used for noble purposes, and some are used for ignoble purposes. And Paul says, Timothy, you want to be one that's used for a noble purpose. And church, that's what we should want to be, used for a noble purpose. You say, we're not vessels. Yes, we are. Paul would even say that too about himself. He would say, listen, I am just a vessel that God is pouring through. He would say in Acts 9:15, God would say of him, Paul is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. Paul would tell the Corinthians, listen, we have the treasure of Christ. We have the treasure in earthen vessels. Why? Why do we have that within us? Because God wants to pour that into you and me so that it's poured out into the lives of others around us. That means your coworkers, your neighbors. It means those that you go to school with, students. It means people all around us. God wants to pour into you his love, his gospel, his goodness, his grace. Why? So that we just keep it for ourselves because, oh, it's so good. No. So it can be spilled out of our lives and into the lives of others. And when that happens in our life, man, we are being used for a noble purpose. Paul will even say, listen, I'm about to be poured out as a drink offering. He'll say later in this epistle in chapter 4, realizing that even there, he's going to be poured out like that sacrifice from that vessel there in the worship of God. You know, we come in all shapes and sizes, just as all the vessels did in the household of the Lord. And yet, though we come in different shapes and sizes, really there's only two purposes. Either we're used for good purposes or we're used for other purposes. For noble purposes or ignoble purposes. I don't know about you, but I want to stand before the Lord one day and him say, well done, you were a good instrument of mine. In fact, you realize, listen, as he defines these two different types of vessels, listen, the Lord stamped them. He knows whose are his. And he's speaking to Timothy and he's saying, listen, even in the household of God, even in the church, both of these are present. In fact, he says, Timothy, there's two men in the church. They've not been good leaders, Hymenaeus and Philetus. He mentions them there in verse 17. Man, these have been poor teachers of the word. They are teaching things that aren't consistent with the word of God. In fact, what they're teaching is nothing but spreading like a cancer. They're not even speaking the truth. They're saying the resurrection is already past and people have missed it. And they're overthrowing the faith of some. You know, it's a serious thing to be a teacher in the house of the Lord, right? I mean, James would say, listen, we incur a stricter judgment because of that. So let not many of you be teachers. Be aware of that. We have to be on guard to make certain of that. And he says, Timothy, make sure you don't want to be like those teachers. You don't want to associate with them. They speak words that are of no profit and are but to the ruin of their hearers. We want to speak the truth. In fact, he'll warn them over in chapter 4, listen, you know, in the end times, they're going to be those teachers that come. And you know what they do? All they want to do is tickle people's ears. gather a crowd around them and tell fanciful stories and tickle people's ears so that they hear what they want to say and they feel good about the experience, but they don't speak the truth. They run from the truth. And he says, don't be like that, but you be a good servant, a good worker, and you be one, a vessel that is useful to the master. Now, how do you do that? I want you to focus with me right here in verses 21 and 22 today, as that's just the backdrop to get us into this section. Notice what he says. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, what's the latter? Those are the vessels for dishonor. Those are the vessels of wood and clay. Those aren't vessels of gold and silver. If you cleanse yourself from the latter, what does that mean? Not just cleanse yourself, but also there's a distinction, a separation from those types of vessels. I'm associated with other types of vessels. I need to be careful about my companionship. I need to be careful about other vessels that I'm running the race of faith with. Timothy, if you anyone, and it's not just Timothy. Did you see the anyone? So this isn't just for the leaders. This is for anybody in the room, right? If anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he'll be a vessel that is for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. So in his description of this illustration he uses about vessels in the household, vessels that were used in the temple, this picture he gives us, listen, do you know, are you careful about the company you keep? Are you careful about those that you associate with? Are you examining what's being spilled out of their lives? And does that honor the Lord or not? We all have to examine that, and we need to be careful about that company. Timothy, listen, we want to be a vessel that's used by the Lord. We want to be serviceable. We want to be, the first way that happens is you're sanctified. You are set apart. If you want to be a vessel for honor, then you need to realize, listen, I belong to the Lord. I've been stamped by His, sealed by Him, by His Spirit. I am saved. I'm redeemed by the blood of Christ. And my life has been made new. And I'm set apart unto Him, set apart from the world, set apart from the things of this world. And I'm set apart to God for godly gospel purposes. You say that sounds like something for a missionary or something for the pastor. No, beloved, that's for every believer to realize. Listen, when you and I repented of our sins and placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Bible sets us apart. We are sanctified. That's what sanctified means. You're set apart unto God. You belong to Him. I belong to Him. We once were in darkness, Peter would say, but now we're in the light. We once hadn't received mercy. Praise God, now we have. We once weren't the people of God, but now we are the people of God. We're set apart. We belong to Him. And God has a purpose for everyone in this room, each one of you. God wants to pour through you that good news that you received from someone else that was a faithful vessel that told you the good news and the truth. And that's where we look at the opportunities around us and say, Lord, I want to be serviceable. I want to be useful. I want to be a utensil or an instrument in your hand that, Lord, you can use. Now, I want you to be aware of this. Listen carefully. God can use and does use everyone in ways they don't even realize. Do you realize this? Go over to the Old Testament. You can read about King Nebuchadnezzar. You can read about King Cyrus. They were God's instruments, and they probably didn't even realize they were being God's instruments when He used them. You know, God even used a donkey over there, Balaam's donkey, right? God can use anything, anyone He wants. He's amazing. You know, He used Paul to spread the gospel before Paul got saved. As he persecuted the church, the gospel went forth, and it wasn't later that Paul became more instrumental in a good way instead of persecuting the church. But he was God's instrument. In fact, God said, He's my instrument. I'm going to use Him. He had already been using Him, fulfilling what Acts 1:8 said, that the Lord said, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It was Paul's persecution of the church that thrust him out at first in chapter 8, verse 1 of Acts. But whether he was obedient and yielded to the Lord or not, God's plans won't be thwarted. He'll still get His work done. But why not be a vessel that he can use? I want to be that. We should want to stand before him and say, Lord, this is what you gave me. This is the time you gave me. This is the life you gave me. These are the abilities you gave me. These are the resources you gave me. God, I want to be faithful, and I want to be a vessel that you used in a powerful way. And if you and I would just look at, listen, the places that you work, the associations that you have, the ball teams that your kids are on, listen, wherever you are, you can be a vessel that God can pour in and through, and you can be useful for him. In fact, listen, every day, Romans 6 says it this way, that you and I should present ourselves no longer as instruments of unrighteousness. That's how we were when we were lost. We presented ourselves as instruments in that way to be used. Now he says in Romans 6, listen, if you're saved, you present yourself every morning as an instrument to righteousness, which leads to holiness. And we do that by setting ourselves apart, recognizing, God, I am set apart for you, and I want to be useful for the Master. And when we do that, we will be prepared for every good work. Now, you know what's fascinating? If you just flip over one chapter, over to chapter 3, let me just show you how God's Word is instrumental in that over in chapter 3. You see, all of this book that we open today, and as Pastor Paulie reminded us, when we open God's Word, what happens? God speaks. Every word of God is God-breathed, and so all Scripture, not just the portions you and I like, but the whole thing, all of it is God-breathed, and it's profitable for us. It's profitable for you today and for me to hear God speak. It's profitable for doctrine. It gives us a plumb line. Do you realize there's good and evil in this world, and God defines it, not us, right? I'm sorry, though, the world wants to define what's right and wrong. God defines that. And that plumb line gives doctrine. On one side, God says it's wrong, and so that Scripture reproves us and says, you're on the wrong side. And then it says, it corrects us, and it says, get over on this side, get on the right side. And then when you're on the right side, listen, it instructs us in righteousness, so we stay on the right side. And when that happens, according to Paul to Timothy in verse 17, when that happens, then listen, in our instruction for righteousness, because we're on the right side, that's so that the man of God can be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, when you and I are useful to the Master, set apart to him, have an ear to hear what the Master has to say, he'll give us the plumb line for our life. He'll tell us, listen, when you're on the wrong side, get over on the right side, stay on the right side, I'll instruct you in the right ways, and that makes us equipped for every good work in life. You're useful. And it's the Word of God that is instrumental in helping us to do that. Why is that significant? What are the false teachers doing? They're not teaching the Word of God. They're not teaching about God's truth. In fact, they're tickling the ears and leading people astray and spreading cancer and destroying the faith of some. And that's Humanaeus and that's Philetus. And he's warning against him. He's, listen, they're saying things that just stir up strife and don't profit anyone and actually ruin their ears. I don't want to be a part of that. And I don't want to let my ears be filled with that. So I want to be useful. So how do I do that? Now here's the shoe leather. Look at verse 22. If you have your marker or pen, this is like your pencil, okay? Listen, you take this. This is your knife and this is your fork. And you take these things and you begin to mark things in your Bible and say, I need to remember these things, these points today. Here's how you do this. Here's how I do this. Watch three things. Three key words right here in verse 22. Here's the shoe leather so you and I can be prepared for every good work, useful to the Master, set apart to him. Flee. Also, useful lust. I circled flee in my Bible. Then we follow, notice this, but pursue. I circled that in my Bible. What do we pursue? Righteousness, faith, love, peace. And then we do that in fellowship with others, with those, I circled that in my Bible, who call on the Lord from or out of a pure heart. Three simple things. I carefully check this out. Watch this. I'm careful about what I'm running from, what I'm running to, and who I'm running with. Do you see that? All right. I flee, I follow in fellowship with a certain community. This is how I examine my life. You examine your life today. Am I running from the right or wrong things? I run from the wrong things. Am I running to the right things? And am I running with the right people? Okay? These are the companions that are godly and are going to encourage me to be godly as well. We all need that in life. Now, how do we do this? Notice this. We flee. We run from. We run away from what? Youthful lust. Literally, what it says here is not some sexual thing, though that could be included, but it's talking about youthful desires when we're young. Things that are often corrected in our lives because they're youthful ambitions or youthful pursuits, or it can be selfish ambition. It can be arrogance. It can be obstinacy. It can be selfish indulgence. It's running away from those things, maturing in the faith and being children, listen, of the Father. Listen, anyone who's raised kids, realize we have a responsibility in parenting. We're not our kids' best friend, okay, moms and dads? Amen? The amen goes right there. We're their parents, all right? We are God's, listen, God's authority in their life to speak into their life. God's given us that responsibility to do that. And so speak the truth into their life, even when they don't want to hear it, okay? And as we do that, we realize in parenting that there's some things that we're trying to get out of them and get them out of. Amen? By the way, every child needs this. If you need empirical evidence, just go work in the nursery for a couple of weeks, okay? You'll see that at a young age. The terrible twos become terrible 12s and become terrible 20s if you're not careful, all right? Listen, we want to run from those things. We want to flee those things. I don't want to go to those things, toward those things. I want to run away from them, those desires that can actually bring destruction in a life. And as we do that, Scripture warns us that, listen, there are things like that within us that we need to run from, and we need the Lord to change our heart. Now, what am I running from? I'm running from those youthful desires, youthful lusts. But I'm running to something, and I'm running specifically to four things, he says. I am pursuing them. Now, all the hunters that are good men that are in church today, because I know it's bow season and you could have been in a stand, okay, listen carefully. This word right here, pursue, in the Greek, it means hunt down. It means like if you're going on a hunt for a big buck, big 10 point, okay, you hunt down these things if you're going to be useful for the Lord, if you're going to be a vessel that honors him, if you're going to be a vessel that's used for noble purposes. What are we hunting down? What are we pursuing? What are we running towards? Notice it says this: righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Four things that are essential that we run after. Righteousness. Listen, it starts right there. What's right and what's wrong? Do you know what's right, and are you living for it? Are you pursuing it? Because, if that's the opposite of running away from it, I'm running away from the wrong things, and I'm running to the right things as God defines them. Now, how do we do that? Well, to do the right thing, I've got to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. That's why these two go in order just like this. If I'm going to pursue the right thing, I'm going to do that in faith. And in faith, I'm doing that believing what God says, right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The Word of God. God defines what's right, and I'm going to pursue that and run towards that, what I hear God say, because I know that'll tell me the right things in life. And so as I pursue righteousness, and by the way, I need righteousness and you need righteousness. I need righteousness just in my prayer life to have an effective prayer life, James would say, because it's the prayers of a righteous man that do much, avail much. I need righteousness in my life. I need to live my life in a righteous way. And I do that by faith. And we live by faith. Paul would say that, listen, the just shall live by faith. We do that from faith to faith. It's vital for every aspect of our life. We walk by faith and not by sight. We need to believe the faith and know the faith, but live by faith. Listen, trusting in God, not ourselves. Not leaning on our own abilities, but trusting in him. Now, what's the fruit of that? When I know what's right and I'm listening to what God says is right and walking by faith, the next thing that comes out of that I'm pursuing is love. Now, why is that significant? Well, if you go over to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 and verse 5 there, when he speaks to Timothy, you know what he says to him? He says, you know what the goal, what the telos, what the end of our instruction is when you learn the faith, when you learn the truth, when you learn what God says is right and wrong? You know what comes out of that? The goal of our instruction is love. It produces love. And so I want to see love come out of my heart. I want to see love come out of my instruction. I want to see love come out of the things that I'm learning, the things that I'm believing. Not love for the world, not love for self. No. Paul's going to warn about that over in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. He's going to say, you know what, in the end times, perilous times are going to come, and men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, and lovers of pleasure but not lovers of God. So this is the right kind of love, the love that loves God supremely and only Him. And it comes from the instruction of the Word that we believe that makes us adequate for every good and perfect work. And the final thing that you're pursuing is peace, shalom. By the way, do you realize that's how God made us when He created us? What God intended from the man and the woman when He made them on that sixth day? The first thing that they were going to enjoy on the seventh day was what? A day of rest. Shalom. Peace with God. And there's people all out in this world trying to find that peace, and they can't find it anywhere. But for you and I as believers, we realize this. When we've made peace with God through the sacrifice of Christ, when we've said, you know what, your assessment of me is true, God, I'm a sinner. I've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and I can't save myself. But I see Jesus who died on that cross and gave His life for me. And I want to put my faith and trust in that sacrifice. Just as Maddox testified, Jesus died, He was buried, and rose again, and I'm dying to myself to live a newness of life. You know what happens? You find peace with God. You make peace. And those that have experienced that, you know what they want? They want to experience that with others made in God's image. They're peacemakers. You know what it says? As much as it depends upon you, pursue peace with who? All men. And those that have experienced the peace of God and have the spirit of peace within them and know who the Prince of Peace is, who reigns and rules in their heart, it only makes sense they're going to run after that and run and follow after that and hunt it down and do all that they have to do, much like a hunter would some piece of game, some animal, some creature out there. Righteousness, faith, love, peace, that's what we're running after. We're trying to follow. We're trying to pursue at all costs. And who do we do that with? I told you to underline this. Do that with those in fellowship with other people who do what? Other believers who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Listen, Mama was right. Birds of a feather flock together. So you got a choice, either soar with the eagles, right, or talk along with the turkeys. It's your choice. And you know what? You've got to make that choice about the company you keep, who influences you. By the way, if you understand Torah and the Word and you meditate on it day and night, as David says we should, one of the first lessons we understand from Psalm 1 is that the blessings of God are upon those who listen. Blessed is the man who does not walk, conduct his life, live in such a way in the counsel of the ungodly. He's careful about the what's whispered and what's said and the information that he receives from those around him. He doesn't want to receive that from the ungodly. He doesn't want to stand in the path of sinners or sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight instead is in the law of the Lord, and in it he meditates day and night. And when you live that way, rejecting, listen, the counsel of the world, because I don't want to listen to that counsel, and I want to meditate on and think about others, listen, who meditate on Torah, those who call on the Lord from a pure heart, those who have made that decision. Listen, I need to be careful and who I'm running the race of faith with. Listen, we're all running that race. Praise God. He who began the good work in us is faithful to complete it. Amen. But listen, we are running to His throne. And beloved, you need to fix your eyes on that throne and realize you can't run that race by yourself. You need the Lord, you need the Spirit of God, and we need the community of faith. You know why? Because sometimes even the righteous man will fall down. He'll fall down 6 or 7 times, but you know what he does? He gets back up. And the epistles say over and over again, you know what? Sometimes it's you and I who have to come and pick one another up. It's you and I who need to come and admonish one another and say, man, you're going the wrong direction. Why are you going down that way? That's an old way. We're going this way. This is the narrow way. Come along with me. Beloved, we all have that responsibility. Sometimes to forgive one another. Sometimes to, listen, remind one another of the principles of God and the precepts of God. Instruct one another. Forgive one another. We're supposed to encourage one another to good works. You better have those words whispered in your ear, shouted in your ear by other believers. You go and you become, listen, get detached from the body of believers, forsake the assembling together, it's not going to go well in your spiritual walk. And you are then more susceptible to the teaching of lies and deception, which the devil will gladly bring across your path. This is the warning he's given. Listen, flee, follow with those, fellowship with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. When you do that, it's amazing. you become a vessel that God can use. And beloved, God wants to pour through everyone in this room this morning. If you're watching online or listening on the radio, God wants to pour through your life into the life of someone else. If you've been graced by God, that's not just an experience for you to say, oh, wow, my life's been enriched. I'm so grateful. No, it's incomplete unless it pours out of you into someone else's life. Christ has done that, redeemed us, and left us here as his body so that we can be instruments in his hand, instruments for righteousness, instruments so that others can come to know the wonderful, amazing, saving truth that Jesus saves. So realize that. Recognize I've been set apart. Recognize I have a responsibility to stay close, to stay clean, to be sanctified and useful for my master, ready for every good work, whatever he may have me do. And beloved, there's plenty of work to do. This world is a mess. The answer is not some political party. The answer is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, there is one political party that has no regard for God, and that's the Democratic Party. They've took him out of their platform. So, you know, you need to think carefully about that if you profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you need to realize that this morning. But you need to recognize we need God-fearing leaders. But listen, we can't blame them or hold them accountable, beloved. It's the church's responsibility to make a difference in the community. We're to be salt and light because that's who God has made us to be. And so let's be faithful to do that. Let's present ourselves as vessels that want to be used by him. And let's say, God, here I am. Use me. You can make a small difference. You may be a big vessel. Make a big difference. It doesn't matter. Make a difference for the kingdom of God. Let God pour in you and pour out of you. And whatever your pursuits are, make sure those pursuits are with others who call on the Lord from a pure heart. And watch God work. He said, Timothy, that's who you need to be. In his circle, it was those that are the teachers. And man, that's very significant. That's very significant to be on guard against. Who's giving the instruction? Who's telling us what and why? And how am I listening to them? But it's important for all of us, because if anyone wants to be a vessel used by the Lord, here's what you need to do. And so are we doing that this morning? Is that my testimony today when I'm running the race of faith? Have I encircled myself and encompassed myself with others, listen, who believe the truth of God's word, who are running to be found faithful, who are encouragers and say, listen, we're going to get there by God's grace. Let's keep running faithful. Let's not compromise. Listen, there's a warning in 2 Timothy about an apostasy, a falling away from the faith. I don't want to be around those that are going to draw me away. I want to be with those that are going to draw me to him and run that race. And I pray that's what you want as well.